Have you ever wanted someone to walk alongside you as you do the thing? You know, the thing that makes your heart come alive and leaves our world more like Jesus than we found it. I know. And that's why I'm here. My name is Rebecca Dotson George. I'm a speaker, writer, career coach, and just all around excited to be in your earbuds for the next few minutes. I'm a girl wildly passionate about cheering you on as you make God known in and through your creative mission. Here's the thing though. I know sometimes you can get discouraged. I'm not good enough. I don't know where to start. I can't do as good of a job as she's doing. These are all lies that we sometimes believe, and I'm here to help you debunk those lies that are ruling your mind about your mission and replace them with truth from God's word. So, buckle up, because I'll gather up my favorite seasoned and rising leaders in their fields to share inspirational stories, strategic advice, and hard-won wisdom. Welcome to the Do the Thing Movement podcast. Do you ever get to the end of a podcast and just think, man, I am not done with that conversation? Girl, me too. And I love hearing from you about how not only the show is encouraging you, but also what God is stirring up in you as a result. And I just really wanted the opportunity to connect one-on-one with more of you. And that's why I've created a Patreon community. Patreon is an online platform that hosts bonus content and provides creators a way to hang out with their audience in a more intimate way. So here's how I'm going to use it. There are three tiers. First is the bestie tier, which will include access to the platform and extra conversations with all our guests that only Patreon besties will get to hear. These questions will not be shared here on your podcast platform. Then there's the VIP party tier. This includes the bestie tier, and you get invited to a VIP party once a month on Zoom where we get to hang out, get to know one another better, and maybe do some coaching in a group session from time to time. And then finally, there is the calling coach tier. In this tier, you'll be able to access the previous tiers plus have a 30-minute coaching call per month with me to talk about anything podcast, ministry, or career related. How fun does this sound? So come on over to Patreon by downloading the app or visiting patreon.com and search Do the Thing Movement. I can't wait to meet you inside the community. Hey friends, I'm so happy to be with you today for this special episode with Susie Eller. Susie is a best-selling author, Bible teacher, and co-host with Holly Girth, one of our other friends, of the podcast More Than Small Talk. Susie has been featured on hundreds of TV and radio programs when she's not riding. You'll find her kayaking, hanging out with her littles, and finding the best food truck or hiking. All things that we love to do around here, right? So she is our kind of girl, and she has a new book out called Joy Keeper, and we get to talk about it today. It's about six truths that change everything you thought you knew about joy, and I love our conversation. She is so wise, and this is such an important topic for us, especially right now, and I can't wait to have her on the show and let you meet her. So let me introduce you to my new friend, Susie. Susie, I am so thrilled to welcome you to the show today.
Hey, thanks for letting me be here. I've been excited about this all day.
Oh, I'm so glad. Isn't this the best, most fun part of our jobs, right? Like in a time when we're not traveling and life just doesn't look as normal as it is. I tell people all the time, it's like I get to have coffee dates with new friends all the time. On even though we're seeing each other through a screen, it's still so fun. And I feel the same way. I've looked forward to it all day, and it's that way for me all the time. But I was so excited about you because our people, and I myself as well, love Holly Girth, who's one of your good friends in ministry that you host a podcast with. And it's probably just a matter of time before we would have had you on. And so you have a book coming out that's already out in the world that was a great reason to bring you on the show today to talk about joy. I'm so excited about your message, and I want you to kind of jump off, and we'll start there, kind of talking about your heart behind your new book. The title is Joy Keeper: Six Truths That Change Everything You Thought You Knew About Joy. So I want to hear your heart behind this message.
Sure. You know, I actually wrote this book in a season that I look back at now and I just call scarred. Have you ever been in a place to where you hit a hard thing and then you see the light and you think, okay, things are going to be okay now. And then another thing hits you.
Yeah.
And then another. And I was in one of those seasons. It was unasked for. It was challenging. It was, there were times that I found myself snot-nosed on the carpet just before the Lord saying, I don't know what's happening right now. I trust you, but oh, Lord, this is hard. And so it's crazy to think that actually a book of joy came out of that. But I began to really redefine joy for myself during that season. Because if joy was tied to my circumstances, then it wasn't for me.
Yeah.
But biblically, all I could see throughout scripture is joy and sorrow kind of waltzing together. And so as a word nerd, I begin to really research this and say, Lord, in this place right now, but not just here, later when it's good too, what do you say about joy and how can I not just live it? Lord, I want to keep it.
Yeah, that's so good. And we say this a lot on the show because this applies to a lot of times in our walk with Christ, but there are so many places, and joy is one of them, I believe, especially after just preparing for this interview, where there's like a both and, right? Like suffering and hard circumstances and just life can coexist with joy. And it's like in our limited minds, right? His thoughts and his ways are so much higher than our thoughts and our ways that sometimes we forget to see things like joy through that lens. And that's why I'm so excited about your book. And I love that you share that you wrote it out of a place that was really hard. I think, gosh, aren't those the best books that come out of just a well-traveled season for an author, right? And something I've said a lot in the last 6 months when I've talked to authors, so that our listeners know this, is what you don't know if you're not in this world is like, you probably signed that book deal 2 years ago, right? To write this book about joy. And you had no idea. There's no way you could have known what we would be facing in, you know, what, February of 2021, by the time this episode comes out. And isn't that so cool of God to lead you to that message long before your readers were going to be experiencing what we're experiencing right now? And so I'm so grateful for that. And,
can I share something here?
Please
really
do.
Quick? I've lived this book twice now because I wrote it out of a place of sorrow and a place I called scarred, where I was reaching for joy, redefining joy, asking God about joy and finding it. But then I'm like 2 months after I turned this manuscript in and it was on its way to be a book. Then I walked into my second season because I found out that cancer had returned in my body, that I had breast cancer again. I was going to go through a double mastectomy. I found out that my heart healthy, I thought, marathon running husband had a heart attack 3 days after I found out that diagnosis of breast cancer again. And then we walked into a pandemic while we were in the process of surgeries and recovery. And, you know, I just remember thinking, you know, often I believe this fully, that we have to live a message before we can share it. I believe that with my whole heart. I think the mom who writes the book on your baby sleeping well through the night when he started sleeping at 3 weeks, you know, she doesn't get to write that book, because the mom whose child is still crying at 2 years and she's done everything she knows, that's an offense to her. And so I'm not glad that I walked through this, but at the same time, the message has proved itself to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that about your story, but my mom is a cancer survivor and she was diagnosed in 2014. It was breast cancer as well. And praise the Lord, she's a survivor now. And we're, I think, 6 years now past being cancer free. We're so grateful. However, that experience and walking through that was probably the first major, like, traumatic potential of loss, like all of those things mm-hmm. we experience in life. I really had not experienced a ton of that at the age where that happened to my mom. And I'm different, and my walk with the Lord is different because of what she went through. We never would have chosen it. And I would never wish it on her again or want to experience that. However, we on the other side, we can see how God used that in our process of sanctification as we become more like Jesus. And it's so cool on the other side to be able to say, man, I see what you did in me through that.
Where's that both end that you were talking about? Yeah. Sorrow and joy, biblically, often waltz together. And I see that all through scripture. I see these places where the disciples are like broken and sad because they've been on this bungee cord road of walking with Jesus. Then Jesus suffers and he dies. And then the uncertainty of not knowing where they're going to be. And then Jesus walks with them for 40 days in his resurrected body. And then he says, I'm going to leave you again. And you know, it's just like this up and down. Yeah. And yet Jesus stepped into their sorrow with them to remind them that everything that he had taught them, that they would now be the church. So sorrow and joy, and to say to them, and not only will you do what I've taught you, but you'll do greater things than me, mm-hmm. you know? And I think about that both end that you're talking about is biblically, if we're tied to the source of joy, then this image that the Lord gave me, and I know this is long, but it's what he gave me and it's what I held on to. You know how a child, when they have a balloon at a party, what's the first thing that's going to happen to that balloon? Like, it's going to go up into the sky. It's going to hit the pop. And yet what does an adult do? An adult will kneel down and they'll tie that ribbon gently around that child's wrist. And this is the both end, is that when we're in the midst of that season and I'm reaching for joy and it's elusive and complicated, that as I tie myself to the source, it's as if he is tying that red balloon of joy around my wrist and says, Suze, wherever you go, whether it's down into the valley or you're up on the mountaintop, joy is going to follow you because you're tied to me.
That's such a good metaphor to think about joy, because I think sometimes, and this is where I'd love to head next, sometimes we think about things like joy, and if we're in a hard season, it feels like something we have to like muster up, or it feels like something that maybe somebody with inexperience, or you know, that maybe hasn't walked, we see somebody that seems like, man, joy is so easy to them. Like, I have some friends that they just exude joy and it is so natural to them. I also have friends that is not the case for. And I would imagine this book would probably really speak to that type of person, because it's like super hard to define, right? And so I think that analogy really helps, but I think it's more than just hiding our negative emotions, right? And so how do we grasp onto this idea of true biblical joy rather than this kind of naive or blind view of our lives that maybe sometimes if joy is hard for us, we think that maybe that's what it takes. Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. And I tell you, one of the greatest joy stealers is the belief that somehow God is disappointed in you when you're sad. Yeah. You know, and I just want to blow that out of the water because biblically we don't see that. We see Jesus stepping into sadness with people. Even when he knew that things were going to be okay around the corner, he still stepped into their sadness with them. So what I would say to you is that God not only created you to feel, he cares about how you feel. So hiding, masking, pushing down, you know, all of those things, which we've kind of associated that with faith, to say that, hey, she's putting on a good face, you know. And I'm thinking, if God created me to feel, then let me take those feelings to him in a very sacred space and say, God, I am mad, or I am sad, or I feel broken, or I don't get this. I don't. But yeah. What I do know is I do know that you love me. So joy is more than a feeling. It's a knowing. It's knowing where to turn. It's knowing whose we are. It's knowing that his plans that he spoke over your life have not been abandoned. It's knowing that God has a seat for you. It's knowing that his goodness is greater. It's knowing what to fix and not to fix. I mean, yeah. It's so much deeper than something tied to a temporary circumstance or feeling.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of my people who are listening and they didn't even want to listen to a conversation about joy. Right. Like they're in the middle of a pit, or they are walking through a hard time in their job financially, or they're facing sickness and they're on, they've just heard that crazy news that they never expected to hear. When we're in that type of moment, how would you encourage somebody to turn to like the know-how, the what is joy? We've talked about that, but how do we pull ourselves out of that? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it doesn't. First of all, what I would say to her is, good grief, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there with you these last 2 years, and I absolutely know what it feels like to be there. So like, I want to reach out with this giant hug and just pull her close as a friend and say, I get it.
Yeah.
Me too. But one of the beautiful definitions of biblical joy that came out of my study was biblical joy is intentionally walking into the love and care of God right where you're at.
Mm.
And so, for example, the morning after I found out that Richard had a heart attack, he had called me. I raced to him 3 days before I'd found out that I had cancer back. We'd been planning this beautiful big trip with all our kids to celebrate this big anniversary and had saved for like a long time. And I went out to move his car. He was getting ready to have open heart surgery. And for whatever reason, it was really important to them that I move his car at that moment. And I went out, we'd had this freak snowstorm, ice storm. And I couldn't get in the car. I finally did. I couldn't find an ice scraper. For whatever reason, not finding the ice scraper was kind of like the last straw.
Yeah.
And I wailed in that igloo of a car. I laid in that car and I wailed. And I just cried out to the Lord and said, I don't get this. I don't understand what's going on. And Lord, this is year number two of this. This is hard. And in that moment, you know, it was kind of like throughout the scripture where they build markers where you experience God, something significant happened. And it wasn't that everything became okay or there this big red bow put on all our circumstances. But in that moment, I realized that the word that when Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. And that word means he's going to sink your heart, your soul, your body, your mind in with his heart over that situation and over you. In that moment where I'm just crying out to God raw and rough, is I realized that I could intentionally walk into his love and care. No excuses. I don't have to hide anything. I'm his girl. I'm his daughter. He loves me. He sees me. He knows me. And I could walk into his care in that moment. And something significant happens. It's not natural. It's supernatural, where he says that, come to me and I will give you rest from your burdens. And I can place that burden in his hands, if only for a moment. I might be placing it back in his hands 30 minutes later.
Yeah.
But for that moment, he carries it for me.
Yeah.
So intentionally, don't hesitate. Don't try to clean up. Don't try to fix up. Don't try to fix anything. Go to your Father. Intentionally walk into his love and care because he's there for you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good. I think one of the things that we struggle with sometimes is just trying to do it all on our own, right? Like even the way that I phrased that question, once you started talking, I was like, man, that was a really poor way to phrase that, because we think, okay, what is like my four-step process when I'm in a hard moment to turn to God? And it's the reality of it is just like,
just get in the quiet before God and just leave it at his feet, right? And so how do you think we stop this mindset of like, okay, how do I handle it? Or how do I, you know, move forward? Why do you think that's so hard for us?
Well, your listeners can't see what we're seeing right now. And I see a chart behind you and it's got blue and black and it's lined up. And you've got all the things on it. I have my own. You just can't see it.
Right.
And so I think that there's two women here talking who we like to chart, plan, pray, and get our life in a way that we can just forge ahead. And that is who I am.
Yeah.
So one of the surprising truths about joy is to realize that God is God and I am not. Mm-hmm. That, you know, and in order for me to step from a joy stealer to be a joy keeper is that I needed to release assignments and roles that were never mine in the first place.
Yeah.
So that I could fully step into what was my role or assignment. And one of the things in the year called Scarred, my son called, and as I share this, he not only gave me permission, he asked that I share this because he's walking through healing and recovery. And so it's in the book. But Ryan called one night and just said, Mom, I'm in a dark place. And I'm in a dark place of addiction and have been for a long time. On the outside looking in, you know, that it was not even fathomable. He owned his own business. He had these beautiful two little kids. He had his wife. And addiction's messy. And addiction is, it doesn't just impact the one who's going through it. It impacts the whole family. So we begin to walk through a series of messy miracles. And I tell you, the one thing I wanted to do as a mama, even though they're grown, is I wanted to put on my superwoman cape and I wanted to fix this. I wanted to fix it. I wanted to help. I wanted to fix it for the little ones. I wanted to fix it for his beautiful wife. I wanted to fix it for him. I wanted to fix it for us. And there was at one point where I was just going to go and talk and share my heart and talk to him. And I sensed the Lord just saying, this is not your assignment. Because right now, if you start speaking into his ear, your voice is going to be louder than mine. And I just remember thinking, but God, this is so hard. I want to fix this.
Yeah.
You know, I want to fix this. And when we release that assignment that was never ours in the first place, and this can be on 1,000 different things. When we release that job, when we release that thing that we are managing and micromanaging and trying to make it happen in all the ways and all the timing that we want it to happen. And we realize that God is God and we are not. It allows us to fully step into what we can do. And there's joy in that.
Yeah. Yeah, there is. I love that. And there's a word that you've used a few times. I want to talk about it a little more that you use in the book called joy stealers.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that a little bit. I do not want you to give your book away. So, but I want listeners to think about this term, talk about that a little more. And what are some of those things that are joy stealers in our lives? And how do we begin to better confront them?
Yeah. And listen, if this helps somebody right where you're at right now, awesome if you get a book. But if this meets you where you're at right now, that's what we're supposed to do. And I'm excited to do that. So I began to realize that there were joy stealers. And again, this doesn't have to do with hard circumstances. This is not a book about being in hard circumstances. This is a book about becoming a joy keeper and finding joy that no one can steal from you. So I began to realize that there were some joy stealers that were pretty common. And one is when we place expectations on ourselves that are higher than what God expects. Mm. And we find ourselves that instead of living with God, we're striving to live for him. And that was a joy stealer. There were so many joy stealers. I'm just trying to think of all of the ones that came up in my own life. But I also, as I begin to talk to women, and they would share with me and just say, going back to how God, you know, feels about our emotions, or I begin to see that there were half truths and lies that disguised themselves as joy stealers. Mm-hmm. And in order to live a life clearly marked by joy, we needed to be able to confront those with truth.
Yeah. It's interesting how, you know, sometimes we've come across books, like I'm thinking of The Energy Bus by John Gordon, where he talks mm-hmm. about energy vampires. So people mm-hmm. in our lives that maybe distract us or toxic or things like that. So when I think of the term joy stealers,
yeah.
my mind did not immediately go to my own thought life. My mind yeah. went to like those people in my life that might be a joy stealer, which we all have some of those yeah. people, right? But it's interesting to think about the way that we think about our work or what God's called us to do, or because that those are a lot of the conversations that we have on this podcast, right? Is mm-hmm. how do we do that thing that God's called us to do faithfully? And it's interesting that you bring up that as a potential yeah. joy stealer. And I think that is so wise and happens so often where we let yeah. the enemy get that foothold there yeah. and we don't even see it in our lives.
Yeah, and we can flip it. Like, for example, a joy stealer is feeling like you never measure up in some way yeah. as a mom, as a whatever, you know, that we just somehow we don't measure up. And so we can flip that question to ask this: what measure of Jesus do I need in this moment? Mm. You know? And when we flip that, it completely changes the way we approach that. We're not beating ourselves up. Listen, the world's going to beat you up. So take your own fist off your own self because we don't need to be beating ourselves up. It's not productive. And so when we flip that from I don't measure up to say, Jesus, what measure of you do I need right now in my marriage, as a mom, in this disagreement with this person that I care about, in this dream I'm trying to do, and I've hit so many obstacles. What measure of you do I need right now in this moment? And it changes it.
Yeah. Man, that's so good. I am so excited about this message, and I can't wait for my listeners to get their hands on the book. And I am really excited to go on over to our Patreon page and get to know you a little bit better and let our listeners get to know you a little bit better. And so for our people listening who do not already subscribe to Patreon, basically what it is an online community where we get to know our guests and our listeners get to know me a little bit better. And you can access all of our bonus resources by going to Patreon, patreon.com/dothethingmovement. And our bonus episode with Susie is going to be over there for you to access whenever you'd like. So we're going to hop on over there and have that conversation. But Susie, thank you again for being my guest today.
It was absolutely an honor. Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to the show. I am so thrilled to have you be a part of this community. I wanted to remind you of a couple of things. Number one, did you know that when people rate and review podcasts on Apple Podcasts, it actually helps more people come across the show? And when that happens, the messages we're sharing get spread even further and we get to encourage more people. I can't think of anything more fun than that. So it would mean the world to me if you would do something that would take just 2 minutes of your time. Hop on over to Apple Podcasts, leave a rating and a written review. Tell me all about how the show is encouraging you and invite others to listen in. It truly means the world to this girl on the other side of the mic. And then number two, if you're loving the show and want even more content from Do The Thing Movement, hop on over to our Patreon page on your desktop or mobile device to listen to after the show bonus interviews, attend live Zoom parties, and receive extra coaching. Simply download the Patreon app or do it on your desktop device and search Do The Thing Movement. I would love to see you over there in that community. Thanks again for listening, and I can't wait to be back with you next episode. Same time, same place. Bye, friends.